Are you going to have to?
Renee!
Oh, here we go. 3 and a 2 and a 1. 2 and 3. Direct from the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex.
It's like honey in your ear holes.
Welcome back to the Superiority Complex.
What?
Weren't we supposed to do a spooky intro?
Oh, yeah. Okay, here we go. Ready?
This was Halloween.
Here we go. Ready?
Ooh, spooky.
There's some spookiness right here. You guys ready? Go.
Yes. Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, I thought you had some music.
Spooky.
So scary.
You want to see something really scary? All right, guys. Welcome back to the Superiority Complex.
Oh, it's going to be a scary movie.
He unzips his pants.
It's part two of our...
No, not a comedy.
Pardon me while I whip this up.
What was that? Whoa. Got a, somebody beam in? What happened there?
It was me.
What'd you do?
Did you toot?
Mm-mm.
I like. I just noticed Jake is wearing a very nice cardigan today. Jake looks very nice.
Thank you.
Looks like you just walked off the set of American Graffiti.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's a very windy day here in Southern California. Those fire advisories are up, so please be careful out there.
California's on fire.
Very windy. I helped a lady today. I was telling the guys I had to go pull a tumbleweed off of a lady's car behind me because she could not see.
Really?
Tumbleweed stuck to the front of her car. So I ran out there like a hero, and then we all know what's on tumbleweeds. Thorns! So I got back in my car, and I was like, well, that was...
It was a good deed.
You said meteor shit.
Yeah, I said meteor.
So you put it in your mouth and went meteor shit.
Mm-hmm. Now you're covered in green fungus.
What if she did that on purpose so she can take you back to her house and then keep you locked up in her little wish world?
Then her plan failed because
maybe
I'm here doing the podcast.
Wish world.
Wish world.
I don't know what to call that place.
Yeah. Wish
How
world.
Do you know this isn't that place?
Yeah. Wish world.
Because no one would wish this.
He wants a glass of milk. What is it from Westworld? He wants a glass of milk.
There's a, sloppy with your drink. I think he wants his mama. kill him. You got a big mouth, you know that?
I love it. Welcome, guys, to the Superiority Complex. It's Digital Movie Club, Halloween edition. Should we just jump right in? Do we have any creepy... Has anyone watched anything scary this week? Did anyone watch any
scary
movies?
I watched three scary movies this week.
Aside from the movies we're talking about on the digital movie.
No.
Do you guys get in the mood, watch a scary movie here? I started the new Halloween. It had a promising start.
You hadn't seen it before?
No.
Oh, it's good, yeah.
And I love that they're doing a podcast about... they're basically doing a serial-type podcast in their research.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was strong, I thought. Yeah. One of the better ones.
All right, I'm going to check it out. I got into it.
How far are you?
I just got to the part where she kicks them out of the house, and she's like, look, get out. You know, I'll take my $3,000. Get out.
And remember, this is like you haven't seen her since the first movie.
Yeah.
Is the way that
they did. I did see a little past that. I'm sorry, where they do away with the idea that that Lori's his sister.
You're right. Right.
Yeah, I love that they did that. They're just like, hey, we're starting from scratch.
So this is just like years later, and this is the first time.
So what did she say? I'm not his sister.
No, it's his granddaughter. Her granddaughter's talking about it.
Yeah.
And she's saying, I heard that was your grandma's brother. And she's like, no, that got urban added to the story. Yeah, it was an urban myth that got added to the story later.
Got it.
Yeah, don't poo-poo it.
I'm just
wondering.
Just
watch it.
It was strong. Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis, always good. We're going to see her.
I didn't know. She's the daughter of the
Tony
girl
Curtis.
From Psycho.
And Tony Curtis.
Yeah. She was on that thing I was telling you about on Hulu. Because she goes, everyone's been trying me to recreate and do something in the shower scene. And she's like, I will not do it. And she did it for one thing. And it was for her show that she's on now, Scream Queens.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I guess she's in the shower. She's doing the whole scene. The guy comes in. And then he pulls the shower curtain. She's not there, and she's behind the door. And she said, "I've seen that movie a million times."
Oh, nice! I like that. Yeah, she. And your dad is Tony.
She said that was the only reason why she was going to do that.
Tony Curtis is her dad.
I know. How do you like that? Your dad's Tony Curtis, and your mom's Janet
Leigh. I wonder
Lee.
If when he was wooing her, he was doing the Shell Oil voice, the Cary Grant voice from
Maybe.
Some Like It Hot.
It's time for us to go to the beach. Oh dear! I love the beach with the shells, Shell Oil. Who talks like that? Nobody talks like that.
I love it. Let's talk about it, guys.
And Uncle
Jack. Oh, by the way, not scary, but you have to see Dolomite Is My Name on
did
Netflix.
You see it?
Fantastic.
Nice.
Ooh, and Modern Love on Amazon.
No.
It's adorable.
With Albert Brooks?
Is Albert Brooks in it?
That's Modern Love from 1979. No.
It's a new show.
These are shorts.
It's a Tina Fey show.
Oh, I'll watch it if it's Tina Fey. I'm in.
Well,
I'm
she's on in one, but it's great.
Is she producing it? Is she writing it? What's the story? Give yes. me. Okay, then I'll watch it.
Okay.
Tina Fey.
See how quickly I turn?
Always great. Mm-hmm.
Slowly I turn.
And step by step. Guys, we have a lot to talk about this week.
Yes, we
do. We had some anthology movies. We had one of the greatest sci-fi movies ever made. Not really scary, but a good sci-fi action film, I feel.
It's a thriller. It's scary.
I mean, things popping out
it's
your
intense.
Chest.
Yeah.
It's a thriller.
It's like a fire in a circus, guys.
And you wait the whole movie for that kid to call her mom.
Intense.
Oh, my God. I have.
Did you cry?
Why are you mad?
Did you cry?
Why are we talking about aliens first?
You're mad at aliens?
What are we talking about first?
You cannot be mad at aliens.
I wouldn't have guessed that that was the one. She was alluding to not liking one. I wouldn't have guessed that was the one.
I knew 100% right away before we watched it, she would have issues with
it. But I don't get it.
Why?
And I can guess ahead of time why. Because...
Are we doing aliens? Because you have to talk about something more than the
she's
other ones.
She's heartless. Wow. So what? No. So she's heartless, and the whole time she's thinking with that kid, why wouldn't you just leave it? Just fucking leave the kid.
I never said that one.
But you thought it.
I never said it. I never said it out loud.
Did you not buy them bonding?
Can't have child services on me.
Some people are heartless demons who would leave a child in a second if it meant saving their own life.
Did you not buy that they bonded because she'd lost her daughter and she'd lost her mom? And
I will not talk about this until we are talking about
it. Okay.
Her daughter was about the same age as
Where's a pawn?
Okay, I guess we should start with this movie since we've already.
I think we should because there's a lot more to talk about.
I just have to say one thing, Justine.
We have to do the theme song.
Jesus,
you look like I feel. That's all I'm going to say.
Angry?
That's weird.
That's from the.
Oh yeah.
Come on, guys, yeah. Pay attention. Write down lines, please.
They mostly come out at night.
Mostly.
Mm-hmm.
That's heartbreaking. That's like something a kid really would say.
Yeah.
Why'd you put her in charge?
All right.
Don't leave me, Ripley.
Here we go. Are you guys ready?
It sure put Bill Paxton on the map. Everyone remembers that role first.
Exactly.
We're toast, man. Game over.
I always remember it was the crappy brother in Weird Science.
Oh, that's right.
You're stewed, but what?
Yeah.
You little shit. How'd you like a greasy pork sandwich served in a dirty ashtray? All right, here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
It's the spooky edition of the Digital Movie Club. You ready?
Digital movies! Digital movies!
You're in the club!
You sound like a cockroach.
That was frightening.
Oh, like those little cockroaches in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why was it every? Okay, I'll wait.
Here we go, guys.
Raid.
Las Cucaras.
Let's talk about our first film. Maybe.
Maybe, baby.
Maybe.
Maybe, baby. I'll have you.
Coming soon. Jolting tales of horror. Creepshow. From the author of Carrie, The Shining, and Cujo. And the creator of Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead. You'll scream at ghastly ghouls. Cringe at weird kids. And shiver at the doings of evil doctors.
This is going to be extremely painful, Mr. Verrill.
Creepshow will grab you, grow on you, and give you the creeps.
No, this is going to be an entirely new experience.
Creepshow, the most fun you'll ever have being scared.
John?
Yeah.
I want my cake.
I want my cake. Want my cake.
Let's talk about it, guys. Who had seen this movie?
Nope. Nope.
John and I. Now, to put this in context, I was about 10 or 11 when this came out. This movie was absolutely huge. It was a huge smash hit.
Did it scare the hell out of you?
I don't think I saw it in the theater. I think I saw it when it hit home videos. And I loved it. It was fun. It was scary, you mm-hmm. know, but it was fun. And it was like a different kind of horror movie. It was mm-hmm. kind of a horror movie that had a little bit of a sense of humor to it. I loved that it was like a comic anthology. I didn't really know about EC Comics at the time. But kind of, you could figure out that it was sure. based on something.
Sure.
You know, yeah. you kind of piece that together. But this, John, like John pointed out, this really kind of kicked off an 80s anthology craze.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Twilight Zone, the movie, was a part of that or not. Yeah. But
might have been the same year.
But I think it was a year later. But there were movies like Cat's Eye. There was mm-hmm. another one with, I just remember one of the stories was Emilio Estevez, and he was in a video game. And then there was like a demon. It was like a duel, like a story that was kind of like Duel, where a guy was a priest, and there was like a devil truck following him around.
Yeah.
Like, that was part of that. I forgot what that was.
There's
called.
A bunch of these.
It was called Nightmares, maybe.
Yeah, something
like that. Yeah. Anyway, but this is the first of those 80s horror anthologies.
And well done. Yeah. And how can you beat the? My God, you got Stephen King and George Romero. How could you lose?
Love it.
You know what I mean? You couldn't lose with those two.
I love it. And they're just a bevy of great actors. A lot of young actors. You see a young Ed Harris mm-hmm. with hair, sort of.
Sort of. Doing
hair.
Some weird dancing.
That's 70s.
Weird dancing.
Mm-hmm. Weird to see him that young, huh?
Yeah.
Without a crew cut.
Yeah, exactly. Weird to see him before he moved to Alcatraz. But
it's weird he's not telling me that Apollo 13 is going to crash.
Let's talk about Creepshow. So, were you guys familiar with this at all, or was this a surprise for you kids out there?
I had a general knowledge of what it was, as mm-hmm. far as it being just a, like kind of like a clip show, pretty much. And I knew Stephen King had something to do with it. I didn't know George Romero had anything to do with it until I was watching the credits.
Nice. And Stephen King actually in it. By the way, if you're a fan of the Lock and Key series, which is mm-hmm. one of the things that got me back into comics, the author of that series was the little boy in the bed in the beginning. Joe King.
Really?
It's Joe.
That was his son.
It's Joe Hill. It's yeah.
And Stephen King's son.
Stephen King's son. Yeah.
Now, why says no? Was that just for?
I don't know why he goes by Joe
publicity
Hill.
Publicity reasons.
Or? I don't think Stephen King is that his actual name, or is that a?
Pen name? I think that is his name. Yeah.
I don't know why he goes by Joe Hill, but he does.
Well, you know, probably. So he gets a chance to get his own career without...
Yeah, maybe.
But I think he's written some things with his dad since then.
Yeah.
I think that Sleeping Beauties? I think he might have co-written
They're
that.
Doing a Creepshow series, I think, on Hulu or one of the... And I think Joe Hill's the one doing it, so...
He's pretty good as the kid. You know? Doesn't seem like your typical kid actor, you know?
And we saw his dad was the guy. We just saw him in Halloween 2. He's one of John Carpenter's guys.
Yeah.
There's a few familiar faces that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
But let's break it down story by story, of course. The first story is the wedding? Is it Father's Day?
Father's Day.
Father's Day is the first one. They're all kind of silly when you watch them now.
Yeah.
But I love them. I love them. And did you guys enjoy the first story? Where's My Cake? No.
Yeah, a lot of
cheesy.
A lot of them are.
Yeah,
a lot of them. They borderline absurdity, but not like distasteful absurdity.
They're supposed to be campy. It's very much.
If you're familiar with the EC Comics from the 50s, that's very much. That was the one that was really like an EC comic, because that's before the Comics Code kicked in, and mm-hmm. you could do just about anything. So there were decapitations, and you know, people, eye gouging and people buried alive. There was no comics code. That's why there's a comics code, because they took it to a court and said, wait a minute, we've got to have some controls over this. This is way too grisly. And a lot of it was like burial, you know, being buried alive and bodies coming out of the grave to strangle somebody.
Had
no
one read Poe at this time? Is that what?
Yeah.
And that's what the guy said. The guy that owned EC Comics says, geez, this is not really too far from Edgar Allan Poe and all those guys, you know.
Yeah, you're just visualizing it.
I mean, it was kind of like the McCarthy thing. They went after him, and he said, look, you know, there's a long history of morbid
fiction. And even Stephen King's novels, Salem's Lot. And
Yeah, well, that was later.
That was later.
Much later.
But he
much
grew later. Up. He grew up reading that stuff. So, you know, it's kind of like everybody that read EC Comics kind of went on. A lot of these guys went on to have a career in horror because they loved it. And it always had sort of like a silly, gruesome twist.
Yeah.
And there was a host. Those comics always had like a vault of, Tales from the Crypt and Vault of Horror. There was about three of them. And they always had like a... like a witch or a corpse or somebody introducing the story, and they always had a little joke at the end, you know, like, gee, I hope he doesn't lose his head or whatever, you know.
Yeah, sure. Some bad pun.
Yeah, but the covers were just really gruesome, you know.
What I love about this story is that it gets you ready for what you're going to see, because you have like shots of like primary color in the background. Yeah. Somebody will be shot, there's like green background, red background.
Kind of looks like a comic.
Yeah.
People have tried to do that, and it doesn't always work. This was pretty good, the way they would kind of make it look like a comic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Guys, were you scared at all?
So this one really focuses, in comparison to this and to Twilight Zone, this one really focuses on the jump scare. Like, that's a tool they use quite frequently.
In the whole movie or in, this
story? In the whole movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, that's something that Creepshow, like, has a huge difference between the two in Twilight Zone. Was it scary? If I had been like 6 or 7 when I was a kid and seen this, yeah, probably would scare the crap out of me.
Because they're so over the top. They're not truly
they're over the
scary.
Top. Yeah.
They're just sort of like unsettling.
Yeah. The first one I don't think was really scary. I think it was kind of like you expected it leading up that he was going to somehow come back.
And I love how they just run with it. He's going, where's my cake?
Had fun with it.
And the thing with the head on the platter with the candles, that's very much like EC Comics. There's always a shot like that, you know.
Sandy, were you scared?
But you'd get this whole feeling of like,
ooh. Yeah, it's a little uncomfortable. Yeah.
It's creepy.
I like Drunk Aunt. Drunk Aunt is great.
More grotesque than
Drunk Aunt.
They're yelling.
And I mean, if you look at it, you know, compared to now, as far as like, it wasn't that graphic as far as like, you know, blood or body parts and stuff like that. Like, it wasn't to the point of like, you know, something's shooting through your chest and popping out.
Mm-hmm.
They're pushing the envelope. I'd say with, you know, 80, this is like, what, 82?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd say it's before the gore just goes off the charts, you know?
Yeah, it's not very gory.
But they do kind of hint at some
it's stuff. Cartoon gore.
Then the second story is which one? Is that the...
Geordi.
Oh, yeah, The Lonesome
That's Death a great one. Again. I know a lot of people think that's the best one.
That's a really good
one. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it's the one that's really the funniest.
It's also tragic, very tragic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, the way he ends up is really sad.
And Stephen King does a great job.
Yeah, he does a great job as an idiot.
He really does do a good job.
And I was so when I was watching it, like the first couple of minutes I was watching it, I was like, why does he look so familiar? Oh, shit. Is that Stephen King? Like, it took me a minute to actually catch up to it, but...
Meteor Ship.
That whole scene really at funny. The beginning looks like... It's like The Blob, where the old man...
exactly.
He touches the meteor, and then it's like, don't touch it. Don't get near it. You know? What's this?
I love how he keeps daydreaming about turning it in and getting money and...
$200.
That's based... I think... I think Stephen King... borrowed that from an H.P. Lovecraft story called The Colors Out of Space, which I read when I was probably sometime around this time. And boy, oh boy, did that mess with my head when I was a kid. It was about a...
His stuff is really creepy. It's like Poe. It gives you nightmares.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing's creepier than that stuff. When you read Edgar Allan Poe and H.P. Lovecraft, that's really got... The comics got nothing on those
exactly.
two guys.
So, but it's just such a sad story, but it's also... There's something about plant life... About vegetable matter, if you can imagine that growing on you.
Well, you see that entire, the whole farm has just been taken over.
And then it starts taking over the area. Like, you see the end of it, it's starting to spread.
Yeah, I love that. It's going to be raining for the next week. Yeah. It's like, okay.
Well, because that's
really... We're going to be green before you know it.
Why do you take a bath?
I know. I guess it was itching. But that's so sad. You know, he's trying to get the gun up to his head. That's such a sad ending.
For once, let my luck be good.
Oh, man.
Bam!
And then he just gurgles. There's a story. I think there's a Stephen King story in Night Shift where it's kind of the same thing, where a guy just basically turns into like a gelatinous mass. Like, he's slowly.
Yeah.
It's lovely. Like that body horror idea that like your body's changing,
like thinner.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he grew up on this stuff. He loved all the old crazy sci-fi movies, and he loved the EC comics. So this is for him. This must have been like a love letter to all those. You know.
Oh man. All right, and then we have the.
Something to tide you over.
Yeah.
That's the for me. That's the most. That's the most disturbing one. Yeah. For me.
Good old Leslie Nielsen. Yeah. Your friend from Naked Gun and Airplane.
I kept waiting for Ted Denson to go. Surely you must be joking.
Yeah.
Get in that hill. Get in that hole.
What was it like seeing a young Ted Danson for you, Sandy? Because you're a big fan of The Good Place, you get to see Michael.
I was just waiting for her to call Coach.
Or say Eleanor. Say it right, Ted Danson.
Is this before Cheers? I think.
Yeah. Like the year before, I think.
Yeah.
The year before. It is weird to see him young.
Like it really is, yeah.
Because I'm so used to seeing him. I used to see him all the time, but now that he's older, I see him with the white hair, and I'm like, hey.
For 11 years, he was Sam Malone, yeah.
Was it good old Leslie Nielsen? Love it.
Pretty creepy.
Buries him in the, up to their neck. And he's so...
That one's... It's
smarmy.
It's not... I wouldn't say it's creepy as much disturbing. As it's just fucked up. Yeah. Like, it's... It's horrible.
I will tell you what, though. He does such a good job of being scared at the end. He really does seem terrified.
He sells it.
He does sell it. Like
he's all, I got a gun. I'll shoot you.
And he starts screaming like a banshee.
I love the gurgling sound when they're talking to him. That's just the perfect sound effect, you know?
The merman sound. Yeah. A lot of zombies.
We want to show you something.
Sounds like Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
I'm not a criminal.
Justine's suspiciously quiet during all these. What's wrong, Justine?
Mm-hmm. I'm not suspicious.
What do you think? What do you think? How you feel? What do you?
How are you feeling about these stories so far?
They're great.
Are they?
Was this a bad week for Justine?
No, they're great.
Wow, you're depressing right now.
You are bummed out. Are you okay?
You're scary. You're scarier than all the creep show.
I mean, the best part of the whole creep show was Ted Danson underwater. Because that was probably the creepiest part.
Yeah, it looks... I don't know how they did that shot. And then
they have that light behind him. Yeah. So, like, that just...
They showed that in the commercial when I was a kid. I remember seeing that as a kid.
Like, that's what scared
me. And it scared me. Yeah. I remember they just did a quick shot of him underwater like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that really... Because I didn't know the context, and it just scared me.
Like, my biggest issue with that one is just the fact that, like, because he's not tied up, he could get out easily.
No, it's like being in wet cement.
No, before the sand is wet, easily he could have gotten out.
Nope. Have you ever been buried in sand before?
I'll do it. Very but difficult. You can start with your hands.
No, his arms were down next to
him. Yeah, if he was laying flat. Tied up, though. If he was laying flat,
he said, get on your knees, pull it in. Mm-hmm. And if he's got the, I don't know. You want? Totally I wouldn't want to try it. Let's put it that way.
Let's try it.
They did it on Mythbusters.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Because of this movie?
Not because of this movie. It was something about being buried.
You slowly move around.
Because if you make enough voids in there, you can make enough space for your body to move. Yeah. That's what it is there's enough space for you to move in there.
Mario's all,
okay. That's not where I'm going to bury Patrick, guys.
I'm just saying, he could have gotten out. If he was tied up, totally feasible. He's not going anywhere.
He's too smart.
If Patrick was in this movie, he's like, you go ahead and bury me, but you know what? I'm just going to wiggle around. I can make voids with my
body.
That's
why I just seemed so quiet. She was running a checklist while she was little.
I gotta get him in front of them, like under the stairs in front of them.
She's like, remember to remember to tie him up before I bury him up
cake
to his neck.
They'll call you Billy.
Scratch the cake plant. All right.
What was so disturbing, too, is that he was recording the whole thing.
Yeah.
That was
creepy.
He's like, you're going to be my late night. What did he say? You're going to be my late show tonight. Yeah. Like, he's going to watch the whole thing. He recorded it. Yeah.
Interesting is he even gets, when he's drinking, he's fixing himself a drink and watching it, he's even getting a little disturbed.
Yeah.
He finally turns it off. He's like, not as much fun as I thought it was going to be.
Well, guess what?
Yeah.
You're coming back.
I can breathe. I can hold my breath.
A long time.
That's a great last line. I can hold my breath a long time.
What were you going to say, Sandy?
I had a lot of questions while we were watching it. I was like, why is he doing this? And like, who's the girl? What's the relation? And I was just looking for like reasons behind
it's his wife.
They were married.
They were
ex-wife.
Yeah, but it's like, why is he trying to kill him? And usually with short stories, there's some kind of...
She was cheating on him, so he killed them both.
Yeah, you get a little bit of context right at the beginning.
Ted Danson, he says it really quick.
Ted Danson says, we were going to tell you anyway. You don't love her. Why do you...
Okay. There's a little bit of context.
He says, what's mine, I keep.
He says, what's mine, I keep.
They're trying to make you make the assumption that that's what it is.
I'm really bad at that part.
Yeah, she...
This is
it's about people reading,
read people. Yeah.
They basically imply that
context clues.
Ted Danson was having an affair with
his wife.
Oh.
Hey, Robert, it could have been worse. Could have been Jake LaMotta.
Hey,
buried up to your neck in sand. Him just asking you that over and over.
You fucked my wife.
No, leave me alone. Let the water come and take me, please.
Just kill me.
What's the next? Oh, the next story is the
crate. Yes.
The crate.
I love that one.
This one was so good.
This is so ridiculous.
Adrienne Barbeau.
I love
it. It's our first glimpse of Adrienne Barbeau.
It's so ridiculous.
Who was she dating? Was she dating?
She's married to John Carpenter.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
And that's why she's in a lot of his movies. Like she'll be in Escape.
She'll
from
be
New
in
York,
Escape yeah. from New York. Yeah. And she was in The Fog, which
she's
we
in the
didn't
fog,
watch.
And yeah.
You right. just feel so good about her getting murdered. Like it's
I think
just
she said
like,
that was her favorite part to be able to play such a obnoxious person. I think that was one of her favorite parts. Yeah. That's
and great. Then just to see the creepy little midget abominable snowman, it was wonderful. Like,
it's called getting a divorce. I'm just saying.
I know, but this
you're
is...
You're the one plotting my murder.
This is like a comic book.
I'm just saying, don't stay in it. You can leave.
And you see a
why
young...
Why do you have to go to death?
Paul that's, Giamatti.
That's not an entertaining.
No, it wasn't. I thought it was Paul Giamatti, too. I looked it up. It's not Paul Giamatti.
It has... It looks it just looks, like
who,
it.
Who?
The lab assistant?
No.
Oh, no.
It's not him.
It looks no. just like
I thought
him.
So, too.
Not really.
Watch I looked it on Amazon.
It looks more like Jared Harris. Or who's the guy who played Moriarty? Jared...
Oh, a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit like him, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I just love him. Wake up! It's dinner time! It's like, nah, shit.
Exactly.
He's not in the box anymore.
Oh, love it. That monster was good looking.
Well, you believe it. This thing's got a million teeth. So, yeah, it's...
He's a good looking
and
creature.
I also love the idea that he's been in this crate and he hasn't eaten since 1839. That's like, that's great.
He's
that's
just a, hungry. Yeah, he's not dead. He's just hungry.
He's a mean little guy too.
Yeah.
It's so great.
I like when the guy like whacks him in the head with a wrench and he just like turns around like, you're next. That's it. That was great. That was a good story. Hal mm-hmm. Holbrook was great as the henpecked husband.
Absolutely. Yeah, really you good. Really feel for him. You know what that's like? That's like Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
A little bit.
Because at the college, you know, and the wife is just, I mean, that's just like Elizabeth Taylor in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. You're just like, can he just strangle her? You know?
I love it.
Or as Justine says, just divorce her.
Just a divorce.
Yeah, but then you lose money.
You
lose
hear
out
all
on money.
About all these serial killers and like the killers, they're just mad at their wife. Just freaking yeah, divorce.
But that's the thing.
They're psychopaths.
That's the thing, dude.
It's not enough to divorce them.
It's the perfect crime. No one's ever going to look for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And with this thing, my God, who's going to believe there's a monster? He just mops up the blood.
Yep.
You know, get all the blood mopped
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I like that he was cleaning it all up. I'm like, damn, this guy is...
Fritz Weaver always turned up on Mission Impossible and stuff
oh,
as
yeah.
like the former Nazi.
Oh,
like
yeah. He's got that kind of face.
Yeah, the yeah. IMF has to take
he could
down.
Be, yeah, he could play anything, you know. Yeah,
oh, that's a good story. I like that one. I just like anything with like a monster like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, and that, again, that's so EC Comics, you know, something some crazy. And you know who drew the Creepshow comic book? They needed to have a tie-in to have an actual Creepshow comic. It was Bernie Wrightson did the illustrations.
Oh, nice.
So for stuff like that, he was the perfect guy, you know.
Love it.
Mr. Swamp Thing.
Let me ask you guys this. What did you think of the last story?
Oh.
What was it called?
Upton Pratt. Whatever it was.
Oh, that guy was...
It is called...
E.G. Marshall.
They're Creeping
E.G.
Up
Marshall.
On You.
Oh, man, those damn bugs.
So
once
great.
You get bugs, you can't get rid of them.
No, that's creepy.
He's great.
Once you get bugs, you can't get rid of them. He lived in
they
like,
creep up on you.
He lived in like this, like a whole like climate controlled.
I love that. It's spick and span, not a speck.
Very
know?
Sterile.
$3,200 yeah. a month.
Was and that what he paid?
$3,200.
And that's what makes it
wow.
so creepy.
And that's 1980s money.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Once they, because every surface is gleaming, once they start piling in, it just becomes more creepy. You know?
Oh, yeah.
They're just all over the place. They're in the jukebox. They're kind of, you know, under the bed.
They're
everywhere.
In a cereal. Yeah.
The whole time I watched it, I was eating. It was disgusting.
Wow.
Did you love it?
I was starving, so I wasn't going to stop eating, but it was disgusting.
Were you kind of like looking at it going...
And my food was crunchy, so I was just like, mm-hmm. oh, this is great.
Crunching on some bugs.
Eating pecans, it's like,
uh-oh. Oh, no!
Eating toffee peanuts. Uh-oh.
John and I have a cockroach story that rivals this.
Yeah?
Really?
But,
we should make a movie
of it. We can't, oh my God, we can't. We can't divulge it on...
Why?
Because you won't ever.
I love it
because
it involves a creaking door. You know, and it's like claustrophobic. It's almost like something out of Aliens.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, you told this story already in the back room?
It was 30 years ago.
Yeah,
sorry, Maureen.
You told
with
the story.
He dropped, he opened, he pulled a box down from
yes.
a shelf,
yeah.
and the cockroaches poured out, and I was holding the ladder for them, and they just poured out onto me, and I was just like, you, like, threw that box. You launched that box.
I don't know why I was so insistent. What did I care? I'm like, eh. We should have just said, nah, to hell with it. Let somebody else deal with it. Why was I so insistent on it?
You were a good guy. You did your job. You did your job. You didn't care if an underling was going to take a cockroach down.
It was more like I thought the boss the next day would go, well, why didn't you just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys, let's rank this creep show.
Rank it.
What was your? Let me ask everybody. What was your favorite story?
Definitely the crepe.
Justine, what was your favorite story?
She's so.
Was it the one with the crepe? Like because you saw yourself in the Adrian Barbeau character.
Whoa.
No.
No one would know. No
Does
one
that
would
make
question.
Patrick Cal Holbrook?
Yep.
Nice.
Sandy, what did you? Which was your favorite story?
Maybe the tide.
The tide.
Same.
I'd say the dancing.
Oh yeah, yeah. That hot Ed Harris.
Hot Ed Harris.
It was just weird to see him like that. He's always had bad skin. But
yeah. Like Tommy Lee Jones. You see Tommy Lee Jones when he's like 21, you're like, wow, he always had bad skin. Came out of the womb with acne.
I mean, he aged great then because he did not look good.
Some guys
young.
Look better the older they get. Yeah.
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 That's John, what we're hoping for.
I'm praying that happens. John, what's your favorite story?
It's probably a tie between the crate and the Geordi with the meteor.
Geordi's just fun, but like...
But I mean, just as far as enjoyment, those were too fun. That's the thing with this movie. It's not particularly... It's just fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's creepy and all that, but it's most just like fun.
I think...
Because it's so over the top. The thing with the crate...
Yeah.
It just so... Everything about it is so over the top that
I
this thing
like
could
that
be
the
in there.
Carrying around the crate, too. Like, it's home. It's so funny.
I gotta go with meteor shit. It's probably my favorite.
Meteor shit. They should have called it that. Meteor
it's so
shit.
So tragic at the end. It's such a tragic ending.
It really is. It's the saddest ending.
It's funny, and then you get to that end, and you're just like, damn.
That's a good Stephen King story, right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, let's rank it, guys. Let's rank it. John, what do you give Creepshow?
Give it a 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Solid 7.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Jake?
I give it 6.
Sandy?
7.
6 is a little low for you, Jake. I'm surprised.
Yeah, we're a little disappointed.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not disappointed. I thought you might like it.
No, it's fine.
It
it's all right. It's fine.
Patrick?
It's a 7. It's fun.
Justine?
5.
Justine, do you want to tell us why you gave it a 5? You're awfully quiet.
No, no words and then 5.
Can we get like a review?
Yeah,
you
haven't,
you
haven't said
five?
Much.
Oh,
what,
no wonder.
What didn't you like about it?
No wonder.
She's
Justine,
on her phone.
Yeah.
I'll type all the things.
Yeah. Yeah, what, you know what? What didn't you like about it?
No, I fucked up.
Not fun.
Patrick, don't mess up my.
What?
You haven't actually said what you didn't like about it. Is it just kind of was it boring?
It's not creepy. I'm not scared. I'm not entertained.
Oh, you didn't even find it fun.
No, the only thing I got scared about was Ted Danson just underwater. But otherwise, I didn't really care for the story.
That thing in the crate. You didn't think that was kind of funny? No. This thing in the crate.
Yeah. I was just annoyed at the professor. Like, this is all your fault.
Well, wouldn't you open the box too?
This is just all his fault.
What's in the box?
Yeah, I love that he said, that the guy said, that's probably some plants.
He's like, you should
open
it.
No, it's National Geographic.
You're the one who found it. I'm like, really, professor?
No, because they thought there was nothing in it. I thought, no, he was so matter of fact about it. You open it, you know.
You
have the honor. Because they really think it's going to be magazines or plants or whatever, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole reason why he doesn't go to the cops is he starts to think, like, oh, they're going to think I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, you're just a little selfish bitch.
I would have thought he
was
fucking crazy, too.
I kind of bought that. There's blood everywhere. These guys are dead, and the police are going to believe there's a monster in the
box.
And
where's the monster? It went back in the box.
I know. That kind of made sense. It's like, there's body parts. There's a shoe with a foot in it, and they're going to think there's a
monster. I'm surprised the other professor believed him.
What I love is that the first thing he thinks is, a way to get rid of my wife.
Yep.
The whole time he's telling him, it's not like, oh my God. It's more like, this is perfect. Okay.
It's finally going to happen.
Yeah, it's finally going to happen. How do I can get rid of my wife? Jeez.
I'm pumped.
Did you like the Geordi with the meteor?
That was the one I didn't like the most.
I love it. Out of all of them, I didn't like that one the most.
I didn't like his face. I didn't like his eyes.
Oh my God. You didn't like a very prolific horror.
His eyes really scared me.
Stephen King is a scary looking guy. When you like look at the back of the, when you get his books and you look at the back,
it's his nose. Like his nose is too small.
He did a really good,
more like a skull shaped nose.
Like cross eye. He just really like. I just wanted to stop watching.
Does this the whole time?
He was like, he's doing Ernest T. Bass. He's kind of like mugging, you know. Like,
yeah.
Ernest T. Bass, it's me, Ernest T.
What'd you rate it?
Patrick, what'd you rate it?
I said it was a 7.
I give it a 7. Solid 7.
Hey, there we go.
7, 7, 7.
All right, let's move on. See if Justine liked this one a little better.
John Landis, American Werewolf in London. Steven Spielberg, E.T. Joe Dante, The Howling. George Miller. Mad Max. These acclaimed directors take you to another dimension. A journey into a wondrous land whose only boundaries are your imagination. Next stop, the Twilight Zone.
How about that, guys?
Guys? Mm-hmm. Guys, anyone there?
They're good.
Mario, you opened this door with the key to imagination.
Well, no food upon the table. You hear the work bell ring.
What a great beginning. If you love Creedence Clearwater Revival, you got to love the beginning.
First of all, let's talk about, I was saying this earlier, first movie I ever saw where the music ran over the company logo.
Right.
I thought that was so cool when I was a kid. I really noticed it.
And it's effective.
Look what I have to do now.
It's effective. Oh, yeah.
I had to turn the monitor.
What's on that phone?
Sound like a disappointed
father.
What's
so absorbing
right
on that? You're playing Angry Birds or what?
No, I have the photos from Twilight Zone, so I know what stories happened.
Well, hey, it's work related.
Mm. It wasn't the first time.
Yes, it was. I had Creepshow open.
When
last
Patrick
time.
Took it away from you, what was on there?
I was putting everyone's scores.
Oh, nice.
Oh, just actually doing something.
You just weren't participating. That's why we
write it down
issue.
On a pad of paper. It's too easy to get this.
Yeah, do it later. Update
pad,
it later.
Pad and paper. What?
You make me listen to it all over again?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I've already done that.
I listen to every show. Every minute of every show, I go back and listen to it. You think I want to?
You go, pure gold. I'm picturing you in a big easy chair going, pure gold.
With giant 1970s headphones
perfection.
On. Like,
with a globe. It's like, I love it. Soon, all the world will get to experience the superiority complex.
Justine, tell us what you thought of Albert Brooks, first of all. First of all, Marlon, Nemo's dad.
I know, he was so young.
I know. It's still the same. Exactly the same.
Yeah.
He never changes. He's always got the same persona. Mm-hmm. You know?
These stories were a lot better than Creepshow.
These were all, except for the opening and the end, they were all based on actual Twilight Zone episodes, so they were all kind of redone.
Except for the first one, right?
Except for the intro? I think that might have been. I think it was a modified one. There was one about.
You're right.
Yeah.
And John Lithgow.
John Lithgow, man.
He's great.
Awesome, right?
What a performance!
I wish they would have put Shatner in there just for fun.
There's something in the wing.
Stewardess. Stewardess is out there. A man
on the wing of the plane
stuck to the side.
With pointed ears. I don't know who he is.
Did you like the opening? Did everybody?
Oh, it was great. Yeah. I knew I was going to have so much fun when I saw freaking Dan Aykroyd.
It sets the tone. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're going to have some fun.
Twilight Zone's always that. It's all about that little twist.
Who doesn't love Dan Aykroyd and Albert Brooks? You got to love it, you know?
It just felt like when at the end of Thriller, when Michael Jackson turns around.
Yeah, exactly. But same director.
You want to see something scary?
You want to see something really scary?
You're like, okay.
Oh, no. Pebbles. They knocked out our lights. There could be nuns up ahead. It really does look like you're out in the middle of nowhere. You get the sense that, like, you know.
I love that.
So, like, that experience of being out in the middle of nowhere like that with your lights off is basically where I grew up.
And then, but then John
and you don't see anything. There's no city light.
For John and I, we had the added heartbreak of having a tape break when you're out in the middle of nowhere, which would happen, right?
Right. Oh, yeah.
And there's nothing. You're like, that's what he's like. He's like, no music. That's it.
There's no entertainment. He's like, there's no radio out here. It's all dead. He's like, well, I guess we could talk. Oh, we've already talked.
I know more about this hitchhiker character.
And you know what I love about this thing with the doing the theme songs? Albert Brooks used to was a roommate of Rob Reiner's. They were pals and roommates when they were.
Oh, the guy who plays you in the Superiority Complex. Right.
Oh yeah, he did a great job in that movie.
So when they first start out, when they first start out in Hollywood, they were buddies when they're and roommates, and they would do ridiculous pranks to each other. And one thing that they loved to do is that theme song thing.
Oh, that's great.
Rob Reiner used to go on the Tonight Show and do that theme. They'd say "Stump Me," Carson and the band. They would. try to stump him, you know, give him a theme song he didn't know, you know.
Ah, so that's so, something. There you go. All right. Yeah. A little background there. See, I like that. Sean, that's what we like when you bring to the
Thanks
table.
Thanks for putting in the
effort. And you don't have to look at your phone to get that story. That just came right out of your head.
Doesn't matter where it comes from.
That just came right out of your head. Right out of the old noggin there. The noggin of John Sandy.
Inside the Noggin with John Sandy.
There's a podcast.
What was that? What was that
no,
one?
You gotta call it Noggin Off.
What was on SCTV? Mm-hmm. Cronkite's brain, when they do like a thing about Walter Cronkite's brain.
Cronkite's brain. This is Walter Cronkite.
All right, let's talk about story one. Vic Morrow. This is the one that led to tragedy. Vic Morrow was actually killed filming this story.
Really?
And yeah, they had to edit.
What?
Yeah.
How did he die?
A helicopter in the Vietnam sequence. He was carrying two kids
to safety
in the story, and a helicopter they had rigged up fell. And
a fireball, they were doing explosions. A fireball hit the rotor and the whole thing came down on top of him and the kids.
Yeah, it decapitated them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a big.
Wow.
I kept reading that in the trivia.
Mm-hmm.
It kept talking about an accident. I'm like, what are they? So I had to go look up the whole thing to figure it out because they wouldn't post it.
There is video on YouTube. Don't watch it. Mm-hmm. But
there was a trial that lasted like a year and a half. And
yeah.
It went on and on and on. And. Yeah, it was a sad thing. It was a crazy thing.
The movie ends, or that sequence ends, they had to have already filmed the ending.
Yeah, I wonder about that, because it was supposed to be he's redeemed because he saves these two kids. They're like Vietnamese kids.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to be he redeems himself by saving these kids. He runs through the water with the kids and gets them out of to safety. And yeah, I was thinking the same thing. They must have shot something on that train that they could say, okay, this is how we're going to end it.
Yeah.
That must have been something he was toying with maybe for an earlier sequence, because they probably thought, how are we going to end this now, you know?
On the flip side, going away from the tragedy, if you guys were listening, there is a payoff to an Animal House joke, because it was directed by John Landis. But one of the soldiers, when they're out, when he's in the river in Vietnam, and after they shoot, they think he's Vietnamese, so they shoot. They think he's Viet Cong, so they shoot. One of them says, "I told you we shouldn't have killed Lieutenant Niedermeyer." So there you go.
At the end of Animal House, shot by his own troops.
By his own troops in Vietnam. But if you gotta listen, but Vic Morrow is awesome in this story.
He's always good.
Unrepentant racist, misogynist
who gets his just desserts.
Wow, let's talk about that. Pretty heavy.
Very.
Kind of time appropriate. I'm not gonna lie. Mm-hmm. Watching it, going, there's a lot of parallels for what's going on right now.
American.
It's just like, it's
the problem that won't go away.
Yeah.
No, it's always there.
And someone poured water on it. Someone keeps watering that plant.
Well, pouring gasoline on the fire.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I Vic Morrow's up. We haven't seen a lot of Vic Morrow in our, did we see any Vic Morrow?
No,
I don't think so.
Vic Morrow, of course, rose to fame with the TV show Combat in the 1960s.
Was it Combat or Rapid Troll?
I think he was Combat.
Combat, okay.
But he always plays like in the Bad News Bears. He's like the opposing coach to Walter Matthau. He always kind of plays that kind of a blowhard, kind of like a him and Jack Warden kind of remind me of each other. In that way.
Same era.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's Jennifer Jason Leigh's father.
Is that true?
Uh huh.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. Did you guys like the first story?
Yeah, that was great.
Sandy?
Yeah.
It did feel unfinished, so that accident makes a lot of sense now.
It just kind of ends?
Yeah, it feel like it ends very abruptly.
That's a very Rod Serling story. I don't think he was the original writer on that, but that's very much the sort of thing Rod Serling would have put in the Twilight Zone, because he liked showing that.
It did feel like that ending, too, where he can see them, but they can't see him.
Right.
And did you notice our friend from The Thing was
was
the buddy in the
right?
He is the buddy.
He turns up on a lot of stuff. Yeah.
You're gonna start seeing a lot of familiar faces.
That's right.
A lot of crossing over. Justine, did you like the first story?
It was hard to watch.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. It's not a good time.
Punch the guy
I'm surprised that John Landis picked that one, because there's almost no humor in it.
Right.
There's almost no humor in it.
But he did the opening and closing sequences, so that was his humor.
Yeah.
He directs the things with Albert Brooks and Dan Aykroyd.
Well, he did that one, too. That's just, he did that.
Right. But yeah. So he must have felt, well, I've done my humor.
Oh, yeah.
The bumpers at the beginning and the end. So this one, I can just go deadly serious.
Yeah.
Because you're right. There's absolutely, yeah.
There's zero humor in it. And that's except for the line with Niedermeyer. Like yeah. that whole thing where they're just like the Americans are out there just yeah. smoking weed and just out there. Just kinda,
you hear the music first.
Yeah, you hear like Purple Haze playing yeah. on the radio.
I think he thought, you know, I can do more than just comedy. I think yeah. like all directors are like, I'm getting tagged as the comedy director, but I want to show that I can do other things, you yeah. know.
Then the next story we have is Kick the Can.
That one was cute.
Adorable.
It's just charming. Very Spielberg. Uh-huh. Very.
Yes.
A little too cutesy, a little too whimsical for me.
It's not very Twilight Zone no. at all.
That is actually a Twilight Zone story, though. That
yeah, but I mean, like, it's not, like, disturbing in a sense that some
sometimes
Twilight
the stories
can
are
be.
Just.
Like Willoughby, the guy on the train going to Willoughby. They weren't always disturbing. Sometimes yeah. they were kind of whimsical.
And they mention Willoughby in the next story. Yeah,
they did.
They do kind of pay off some of the stuff.
So they're not always creepy. The Twilight Zone isn't like Outer Limits. There's not always something that's going to...
What my daughter's favorite episode is the episode with Art Carney, where he's the drunk Santa Claus.
Really? She that's, likes that
my
one.
My daughter loves that one.
How about that?
We watch it every Christmas.
They actually talked about my favorite Twilight Zone, which was the glasses.
Oh, yeah. That was the first episode I showed my daughter, and she looked at me and she said, why did you show this to me?
I'm so
that
depressed.
That is the saddest story I've ever
I
seen.
I love how Albert Brooks goes, I bought two pair of glasses just because of that episode.
That was funny.
What was your favorite episode of The Twilight Zone? Was that the one?
Yeah, that's
what about
favorite.
You, Justine? Are you a big fan of the original Twilight Zone?
I've only seen, like, four episodes.
And which was your favorite?
They're okay so far.
What?
Yeah, but which one is your favorite?
They're okay so far. I mean, I just need one I want to love, and there's none that I love so far.
But it ran 5 years.
Well, it's no Black yeah. Mirror because it's good. So.
Black Mirror. Oh,
you mean
great.
Softcore Point?
Well, you know, which four did you see?
Never seen
I started from the beginning.
Oh, yeah? How about that?
Yeah, you can. It's
the monsters come to Melbourne Street?
No, the first one is.
There's one where he goes everybody? To the diner, and he's trying to find everyone, and he yeah. goes to the town. Mm. Yeah, I saw that one.
Mm-hmm. You don't like that one, huh?
It didn't grab me. It didn't grab me. I want more.
Sandy, right. What did you... Do you like the original Twilight Zone? Are you a fan?
I only remember parts of...
It's amazing that it's still on, that you guys have seen it.
That oh, and they're doing marathons. Like, there's a station that does Thanksgiving.
Cool, actually.
Which one did you see, Sandy?
I remember the Christmas one, and then there's another one that I think there's, like, people that turn into dolls, and there's a well, and that's all I've got.
Oh, there's one where people turn into mannequins. Oh, no. That's the one where they're all in like a donation box. Yeah.
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 The soldier.
They're all dolls.
The ballerina.
A ballerina, a soldier, a clown. Yeah, that's a good one.
They're trying to get out. Yeah.
That's right.
That is a good one.
What about you? I feel like Jake has seen them all.
I haven't seen. I've only seen a couple. I saw the plane one.
Yeah.
So when I saw it on the movie, I'm like, wait.
Stewardess.
He was doing it the whole time.
Yeah, I'm like, there's something in the wing.
Mm-hmm.
I did that quite a few times.
Of course.
Yeah.
Thank God I didn't watch it with you. I would have killed myself.
John, your favorite episode of all time? Twilight Zone?
I like the monsters have come to Mulberry Street or Maple Street.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Claude Akins yeah. and Jack West and all those guys. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That is like that and the Burgess Meredith with the books and the glasses, that seems like those are the archetypal,
mm-hmm.
you know, that when you think of Twilight Zone, that's what you think of.
Yeah.
It's got a message. It's, you know,
mm-hmm.
well written.
Me and my family were big fans of Talking Tina. Oh. Tally Savalas.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Because he's all, this day, what is it with this doll?
You yeah. know? It's June Foray. It's June Foray doing
exactly.
the voice.
Yeah. I'm Talking Tina, and I'm going to kill you. I love the look on his face. Hey, what is it with this fucking doll, man?
And I always did like the one they actually did in this one. The Shatner one's great. The Shatner did another one with a little devil
I
head.
I hate that. That's my least favorite Twilight Zone.
You don't like that one?
Because I don't buy the premise. It's the one Twilight Zone where we're like, I don't buy this. And he won't leave the diner because the napkin holder told him not
yeah,
to. You know?
Told him not to. But the other one I always liked was, you just made me lose it. You made me lose it. I like the Shatner one, and then I like the... I don't know. Maybe lose it.
I made you lose it.
Because you said you don't buy it. And I was like, oh, there's one he doesn't like. And yeah. I kind of.
I like the Buster Keaton one.
Buster Keaton
goes
makes
back
it.
In,
yeah.
He goes back in time. My God. How great is that?
I forgot the other one I like.
What Jonathan Winters?
Talking yeah. Tina? I don't remember.
Jack Klugman?
I don't remember now. It'll come to me.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. We're still best friends. Kick the Can. What did everyone think?
Too sticky sweet.
Very
it's,
cute.
It's tough.
It's sweet.
It gave me
it's
a cavity.
It has a nice message.
It has a nice message, but
it doesn't have Scatman Crothers.
It kind of shows Spielberg when he's at the most sort of like cloying, you know.
It's ET. Too cutesy pie. Yeah. You're just like, ugh, fuck. Kill like, the tiny aliens.
Like Hook. I mean, that's part of my problem with Hook. I always gripe about
that. Oh, that is kind of a prototype for Hook.
I gripe about The Lost Boys, but basically it's the tone. It just kind of, it's too sticky sweet.
Dad.
Yeah.
I can fly.
But you know, he redeemed himself, because as he got older, he was making, he made, you know, the movies got a little tighter, you know.
John, think of a wonderful thing.
Also, I love the original. I love the original Peter Pan, you know. Oh, you don't like that Peter Pan, do you?
I don't like any Peter Pan, I've realized.
You know, you gotta love.
That's actually true.
I realize I don't like it.
I like the girl live one. The black and white, when she's black, it's like broadcasted.
Kathy Rigby?
No, Mary Martin, or
it's some woman and she's doing it. And
yeah,
she's just on stage.
That's got to be Mary Martin, black and white.
That's my favorite Peter Pan.
Mr. Wow. B Natural from Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, exactly. I love that all those productions of Peter Pan, playing a 12-year-old boy is a 35-year-old woman.
She did a great job.
But you got to put him on wires. They always said we can't put a kid on wires. If
To Serve Man, no.
Oh, that's a great one. Yeah.
But that's not my favorite.
Yeah. How about Roddy McDowell in the Zoo?
Where he's, I like the bars. One with the little aliens. The little aliens with Agnes Moorehead.
Yeah.
I can't remember what my favorite one was. I had it right here.
All right.
All right, let's talk about the next one. One of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the one I was going to tell you. They did it. It's the cornfield. Wish It Into the Cornfield.
There you go.
Billy Mumy.
I love that he's in the sequence.
Yeah.
He's in the diner.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Thanks a lot.
Yay, Dick Miller.
Dick Miller. Good old Dick Miller shows. Is that our first Dick Miller appearance? No, he was in Gremlins. We watched Gremlins.
Yeah, we saw him in Gremlins.
He was Mr. Futterman. He's Mr. Futterman in Gremlins.
Yeah,
let's talk about this one. Did you guys recognize the uncle? Did you guys recognize the uncle?
I didn't know from what,
Uncle Walt.
Uncle Walt.
Yeah.
Right, which is Walt. Yeah. He pulls a rabbit out of the hat. Did you recognize who that was?
No.
That was our friend from Invasion of the Body Snatchers. He was the leading man in Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
He's always great. Yeah. He's a favorite of all these guys. He turns up in a lot of things because they all love him, you know.
And then the dad, William Shallot, we've seen. He was the guy in the ambulance in Them. Like, for real quick, he was in Them.
He's the father on the Patty Duke show. That's so he's the perfect guy to play the dad, you know.
I love this one. This is a good one.
Yeah.
Scary. Yeah. Creepy.
The burger is good with peanut butter.
Yeah. There's nothing worse than a creepy kid.
I know.
There's nothing worse than a creepy kid.
And the house is, because it looks like the inside of a cartoon, and that's pre-CGI.
Yeah.
So that's all lighting and how they painted the house with primary colors. Every room's got a TV.
And then you go upstairs and everything's grayscale, and you're like, the fuck's going on?
It looks like black and white, yeah.
And that one scene of the sister with no mouth.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so
super unsettling.
Why don't they just murder the kid, you know?
And then they picked just the right cartoons.
Because he knows, in the... If you watch the original, he can read their thoughts, and he knows that they're planning to kill him. So they have to always be thinking happy thoughts because he has ESP. So yeah,
he's got something. And then the end of it all, she's just like, "I'll take you under my wing."
Yeah,
I know. She's all, "I'll learn from you, and you'll learn from me."
With great power.
How else are you gonna get out of that mess? You know?
Yeah, exactly. I'll be your friend. Like, with great power comes great responsibility.
I don't think she was trying to get out of it, though, because in the begining they said she was looking for something more.
Right, she was bored.
I think she was taking advantage of the situation.
Yeah,
and she saw something and she's just like, you know what?
Yeah.
I could use this.
You think she's going to use it for evil or for good?
Evil.
For evil.
Oh, yeah, I don't know about that.
Evil.
I disagree.
It's like
I don't think so.
She was a school teacher.
She had everything in the back seat. She had moved.
She was going to teach him evil.
No, I didn't think she was going
to
go.
No. I think this is a way to save herself, not just be condemned to a life with the other people. But also, she thought, I'm smart enough that
they're robbing banks now.
I can maybe,
you know.
Doesn't even have to rob the banks. He can just dream up the money.
I know. That's one of those things, like, I dream of genie. You know, you could make me a bank president. No, you're a genie. How about you just make me rich?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
It's like people with no imagination. I know. Give me a good job. No. She's a genie. You don't have to work anymore.
I always think about that. The fact that if I could have any superpower at all, it would be teleportation.
Yep.
And I wouldn't even do anything good with it. I would just, when I had to take a break at work, I would just go, I can poop at home. I'll be back in 10.
It's like, where do I feel like pooping today? How about France?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like no imagination. It's like, I can poop anywhere. No, you can teleport.
I could sleep in till right before I have to go to work. It's not even anything like...
It's a convenient superpower. Yeah. That's why it's great.
Yeah,
it's not like a narrow sort of...
It's not even like, I can finally see the Great Wall. It's like, nope, I can sleep in till...
It's literally, I do not have to sit in an hour of traffic to get to work. I can just be there and then go home.
Can you imagine how much more you could get done if you could teleport during the day?
Your quality of life would just improve.
Oh, my gosh.
You could poop wherever you want to.
As long as the fly didn't go into the teleporter with you.
Well, no. It wouldn't.
No, it's just like instant. It'd be like 60s TV. Let's nail the camera down. Turn the camera off. Now he's gone.
That's Bewitched.
Yeah, exactly.
Every episode of Bewitched. She, you know, bing.
Da-da.
Where'd she go?
Da-da.
Exactly.
Yeah. Da-da-da-da-da. Okay.
I totally agree with that.
So you guys like that story? You guys like the...
Yeah, he's creepy as hell.
Yep.
That kid was,
and I love that there's a TV in every room, and there's a cartoon on every TV.
And the family was really good at being scared.
Oh, and then just as soon as he leaves the room, how crazy they get going through her purse.
Like, yeah, a cigarette. God. And then it's so sad, the pictures. I used to love going to the beach. Look at this. A picture of somebody at the beach. Who knows how long they've been there, you know? It's like...
And who eats a burger with peanut butter? I mean, come on.
Little kid. A little kid. Doesn't know any better.
I love that she's looking. You eat like this every day.
I love the physical effects of the rabbit and the Tasmanian devil.
Yeah, those are.
Oh, and you know who came up with those physical effects? It's the guy that did the thing. Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's that Rob Bottin. Yeah.
Awesome.
Good
and
job.
Again, no CGI. Those are they had to build those with the great big bulging eyes and all that.
Let's talk about Let's talk about the next story. You want to talk about one of the creepiest monsters ever? Is that gosh darn gremlin?
Yeah. Oh my god!
On the Joe, so this is Joe Dante, your boy Joe Dante.
No, that was the.
I'm sorry, that was that one. Yeah. This is George Miller. Yeah. I'm sorry, who we're gonna see in the Road Warrior?
Yeah.
And did Mad Max, the last Mad Max movie.
Yeah.
I love this one. Mm-hmm. Really well done. Really puts you in the mental state of John Lithgow, just the way everything's shot.
Yeah. My lord.
From the first shot. Mm-hmm. The first shot, you're like, got this fisheye lens.
Yeah, you can never get
comfortable.
Exactly. Everything's always teetering and moving around. The camera's
panning.
It's like
how you feel on a plane, just uncomfortable.
And even the people
chair.
Around him are people that are not going to put him at ease. That great big fat guy and the little girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everybody around him is making things worse.
Is there anything worse than a ventriloquist dummy that looks like W.C. Fields?
And then she's cuddling with it as she sleeps? No child does that. That's just wrong.
Hey, no smoking! N-O-S-M-O-K. You're just like, dude, please
fucking murder that
shut
child.
Your mouth.
I would have fed the kid to the gremlin.
Or give her the
shot sentence. Out the window and then threw her out.
The best part of that one, though, is the ending when they get out and they're on the wing of the plane and you just see the engine and you're just like, shit.
Yeah.
I love that they did that because it's like in your face. He did see it. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's the way the original one ended. Yeah. That was the original one. You get to see Donna Dixon as an air hostess. That's Dan Aykroyd's wife. Mm-hmm. The blonde.
And to this day.
To this day, there's still me.
Then you get to see Dan Aykroyd again.
Yeah. Yeah.
What a great ending.
What a great ending.
You want to see something really scary?
But that scene where he grabs his face and just wags his finger at him. Oh, my God. The way he looks is so...
And then flies away.
Yeah, just like runs off. And the way he moves, the way he moves is so unnatural.
Is that how people who have a fear of flying feel when they're
probably.
In a plane?
I do fear flying mostly because of that episode.
It reminded me of the Bugs Bunny gremlin. It's just like that's like
that's one of the all time great cartoons.
It's great, I love those ones.
The plane's gonna crash and he runs out of fuel, so
he's
stops.
Like, well, shit.
I love that. Yeah, with a wartime joke. I didn't have the right card on the ration
book. Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
I love it.
I love when he turns sideways through the two buildings. Mm-hmm. So great.
Did you like this story? I think this is probably the strongest story of all.
I think that's why they saved it for last.
Yeah,
obviously, if you're watching these, and you're thinking, what order are we going to do these? It's got to be the last episode, you know.
Man, that's a good one.
Solid, and it's the only one that improves on the original, you know.
Yeah,
I think, probably. Yeah.
Patrick, what did you think of Twilight Zone as a whole?
It was a lot of fun. I definitely think that it was much more meaningful than Creepshow. Like, it was trying to make a point and prove a message. I think that Kick the Can was probably the weakest one as far as all of it. And then just Dan Aykroyd being in the beginning and the ending really made it for me. I like that they tied everything together. That was a nice touch.
They added a Twilight Zone ending to a Twilight Zone
ending.
And they were already talking about Twilight Zone, which was great.
Justine, what did you think?
Twilight Zone just knows how to tell these stories better than Creepshow.
Well, The Shadow knows.
It's fair.
Creepshow just kind of seems like, oh, we get to make a movie? Let's do it. But Twilight Zone, they're like, okay, we have the budget now. Let's just make it bigger.
Yeah.
It's a different tone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying, but it's a different tone. Creepshow is going for a tone, and if you read the EC comics, it's on the money.
It nailed it.
But
yeah.
It is a different tone.
Mm-hmm. It's a little more juvenile.
They're all super campy.
It's like for 12-year-olds, and the Twilight Zone is for like more like adults.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Sandy, what did you think?
It was good.
You liked it?
Yeah.
What was your favorite?
The airplane. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jake? That was great acting.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lithgow's so good. You really do feel for him. You really do feel like he's going through it.
He's going like a major panic attack and starts to go crazy. And
what a great actor.
Yeah.
Really good job. And the fact that the drugs don't work, like, that's the worst part.
Well, part of it thinks, like, you know, is it now just the drugs starting to kick in?
Because he already took
medication in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And then they gave him pills again. And it was like, oh, well, now is he just starting to hallucinate because all these pills?
How happy does that gremlin look when he's chucking the metal into the...
He's just ripping it.
Yeah. And then when the lightning hits him, you know, he's all...
It looks like a kid in a ball pit.
Just
throwing stuff around.
If I had to be a character, I would be the gremlin.
Yeah, he looks like he's having fun.
He's got the lightning.
Yeah, he's like a grandfather of the gremlins in Gremlins.
Because he's so tall.
It's like in Return of the Jedi when the Wookiees are petting or when the Ewoks are petting Chewbacca. Yeah. It's like, oh, you're so big. It's like that. He's like a giant.
He's like the middle part until aliens.
Exactly. Yeah. He's got that shiny black kind of wet.
Yeah.
Kinda, so Jake, you liked it. You liked the whole thing.
Thing as a whole was great. I did like Kick the Can. I do agree that it's also the weakest, but. It was cute.
It's very charming.
It had a really great message.
The kids are good when they're acting as the old and they're doing.
Oh,
like,
man, that girl that plays Selma Diamond.
Yeah,
Larry's that you.
Where do you find a kid that can do that voice? Yeah. Gee.
We've been married for 30
years.
I don't want to see all my friends die again.
Yeah.
It's so dark.
Oh, what about when she says, all I wanted to do was dance. I didn't want to do this.
Yeah.
I didn't want to. There is some heartbreaking stuff in there.
You got to love Scatman Crothers.
And Scatman Crothers.
He's always great. Cool. Just the greatest.
He was good in that role.
Yeah.
Kids of my generation also know him as Jazz from Transformers. John, you love them all. What's your favorite, the Joe Dante story or the?
Oh, I love the Joe Dante story, and I also think the last one is great. You just can't beat it.
Let's rank them, John.
Yeah, because the first two just feel kind of weak to me. So I'd say that kind of brings it down to like a 6.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep it. I'm gonna just say 7.
Sandy.
Solid.
7.5.
Justine.
I'll give it a 7.
Wow.
7.5.
I'm gonna go 7.
Yeah.
She's writing them all down. All right, here we go, guys. Last one. To quote the kid, Edward Furlong from Terminator 2. Last one.
They mostly sleep at night. Mostly.
Oh, no, look at that. Oh, Terminator ad came out.
What do you think of that ad where she goes, I'll be back. She throws a bomb over the fence. I'll be back.
I kind of want to see it.
I do, too. What the hell? You got Linda Hamilton
You're
back.
You're going out there to destroy them, right? Not to study. Not to bring back, but to wipe them out.
That's the plan.
All right, people. I am. I am me.
Yeah.
I am me.
Yeah.
I am me.
Yeah.
Got a red line, Marine. Get down to die.
Talk to me, Hudson.
I got signals. I got readings in front and behind.
There's nothing back here.
Look, I'm telling you, there's something moving and it ain't us.
Get them out of there.
They cut the power.
How could they cut the power, man? They're animals.
There's movement all over the place!
5 meters, man. 4.
Man, come on, man.
Aliens. This time, it's war.
Man.
What a great movie.
I've never seen that guy so young before.
I know.
Oh, I know.
The one that was like, oh, come on, man. Oh,
come Bill Paxton.
Come on, man. Yeah.
I was like, whoa. Yeah.
The next time you see them together.
You little shit.
Next time you see Hudson and Hicks together, they will be on opposing sides in Tombstone.
Yeah. Mm.
Michael Biehn and...
I like Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton is great in this movie.
He's funny.
I remember seeing this trailer and being... Because from the time I was terrified at seeing Alien to this movie, like 7 years had passed, I was a teenager, and I was like, man, they're going to go back and kick the aliens' ass. It's going to be awesome.
Why did they take so long to film the next one?
Good question. I don't know the answer to that. Yeah.
I don't know, but it was a different director, James Cameron.
I wonder if they were waiting. I wonder if they're trying to get Ridley Scott to do another one.
Maybe.
This, I think, is like the age of when, you know, they weren't in a rush to push out sequels like they do now.
Yeah.
I wonder. There's got to be an answer to that. And Cameron had only done the first Terminator.
Yeah.
Was his first major movie, so he was...
I think he did, what, like Piranha or something?
He did Piranha 2.
Yeah.
You know, which was kind of a dopey thing. But Terminator was such a hit that they gave him his... they said, anything you want to do next, and this is what he picked, I think.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah.
Hudson, sir. Ugh. He's Hicks.
So good.
This almost makes me forgive Cameron for Avatar and Titanic. Almost.
Yeah, that's funny. I don't hate those movies. I don't think they're quite the earth beaters that everyone else thinks they are. I don't hate those movies, once is enough.
They're okay.
I don't get people that went to see Avatar like 100 times. Like, I don't get that at all. Once is enough, but
3D, man.
I think it's just the how visually stunning it
was. It's like you're there.
And you know, it's funny because that was 10 years ago. He's got 3 sequels in the works. That was now like almost 11 years ago. I wonder if people are still going to care.
Give me another Alien movie.
I love Prometheus, and I love the last Alien movie.
I need one like this, John.
I need to watch them. I haven't seen Prometheus.
Did you like those last two? Prometheus?
Yeah, they were all right.
And the other one? Yeah.
Prometheus is so good.
Yeah, isn't that great?
What's his face being super
creepy.
Alien
Covenant was good, too.
I like that. You know, no one ever talks about that one. And that's the guy that did City of Lost Children. Very solid effort, but nobody ever talks about that one.
That's a good one. Danny McBride is in that one.
Yeah.
Let's talk about... Had you guys seen this yet?
Yes.
You had seen it, Patrick?
A million
Jake?
Times, yes.
Yeah. Sandy, had you seen it before?
Maybe when I was really, like...
Justine had never seen it. Let's start with Justine, because Justine had some beef early on.
Yeah. Where's the
beef? Why you got beef?
Justine, first of all, let's talk about what you liked about this movie.
I love this movie. This movie's great.
Okay.
Every time she does this.
You know, because it has military stuff, so I knew you were...
No, it's just an all-action film.
Yep.
They have a strategy. They execute. They fail.
But they
take care of the problem. They get a new person in charge, because that person was horrible.
He always was an a-hole.
What can you not like about it? They have a plan. They have something that tells them where the enemy is. You see where they're coming in. Some of them are smart enough to realize where they are. I mean, it's...
Justine wants logic.
Airtight.
Yeah. It's a war
Airtight.
Film. Basically, it's a war film.
It really
Justine
is.
Justine loves war films.
It's just done so well.
but you did have a problem with that kid, didn't
I did
you?
Have an issue with the kid.
That they should have left her behind, or what?
No, I'm just like, oh, yeah, she survived how many years by herself? Oh.
No, it was...
she's a survivor, man.
No, it was a few
years.
Months.
It was a few months.
Yeah.
So she survived that long, but yet she's screaming at everything that's happening in
front
of her.
Because she's surrounded by monsters. Well,
how are you surviving if you're screaming
She made
also?
A switch. So mentally, she made a switch. When she was by herself, it's primal survival.
And
mode.
See, when she was holding her under the bed... Uh-huh. And she wakes her up. I'm like, don't wake her up. She's going to scream. But she's like, shh, get ready. We have to let go.
She's got
I'm
a
like,
post-traumatic
cool.
stress disorder.
Yeah,
she's like catatonic.
And I'm like, cool. This girl's like, she has it on. Like, she knows I have to be fucking quiet because I'm going to get killed. But no, she has like this switch that like makes
her scream. She's able to revert back to a child. That's the thing. That's what you're seeing is you're seeing the transition.
She's getting bits and pieces of her of
being
a childhood.
Being a primal back. Feral
well, then
creature
she shouldn't
to
have
being
baby
a human
her
again.
That soon.
Wow, that's heavy. She's a kid. She's a kid.
I thought when she first showed up, I'm like, oh, she's so ideal. She's going to be quiet. Nope. She's going to be running. And you know what?
Kid.
And she was for a little bit because she's like, you have to run this way. You have to go up this way. And we go this way. I'm like, cool. She's smart. And then she screams. I'm like, oh, you're so annoying.
Yeah, but the aliens will hear you no matter what. They know you're there. The screaming doesn't matter.
Yeah, those things are killing machines. Yeah. They will find
what's
you.
That line where she goes?
They were designed.
She goes,
to
it
kill.
Won't matter. Yeah. They're like, we're ready for it. It won't matter.
Yeah.
She's seen it. Because these things have killed everybody she knew, including her parents. It's amazing she can function at all.
Yeah.
But I've never seen that guy as a bad guy.
Who's that?
Paul Reiser.
Yeah, I've never
mad
seen
Mad About
him
You.
As a bad
guy.
Oh,
fucking
exactly.
Paul Reiser.
He's
and
always a good guy.
Mad
and
About
Diner.
You just came back on
Thank
TV.
God he
they're
dies.
Showing old ones or something.
He's super
like
good, too.
He's believable as a slimy corporate type.
I know, and so I loved him in Mad About You. So you just kind of ruined him for me. But
yeah.
I was and so happy when he died.
Oh, it's great.
But this was a way more interesting story than Alien.
Uh-huh.
This had just more action, and they were prepared.
And if
or
you
they
watched
thought they were
Alien,
prepared.
There's a lot of payoff too, because you already know how they act and how they maneuver around. So when you see little hints and stuff, you're like, oh no, they're
you know
going
how,
this way.
You know how bad the situation is before they do.
Yep. This really behaves like a war movie, and the other one. The first one is more like an old Dark House movie.
Sure.
It's just a spaceship, but there's something loose and they gotta, you know, this is really a different kind of movie.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen the movie, but I've seen so many images of her in that yellow robot thing.
Oh, that's so good.
But you know what? That reminded me of Avatar.
Yeah, they kind of stole that from there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Every movie
James
he's done
stole from himself.
Robots. He always, like The Abyss, everything he learns on a movie, you see it in the next movie, taken up a notch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's motion capture or CGI or whatever, whatever he learns on this movie, the next one, you see it in spades. You
but
know?
I've seen her in that suit, so when she went into it, I'm like, this can't be it. Because it was a happy ending at the end of that one.
It was a badass fight
so
with a
robot.
So
towards the end, I'm like, okay, like she has to wear the suit, because I think that's what this movie is mm-hmm. when she wears that suit. And then she did. So
Get away from her, you
she
bitch.
She got to move around a lot in that, though, and it doesn't look like it's CGI'd, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's mostly foam and stilts.
Yeah, it's like puppetry.
Don't tell me that. I thought it was so cool.
You know, you put the sound effects in, it looks like she's really wearing it. You know? And I think behind her is some stop motion animation. You see a guy behind her wearing
and then,
one.
I read that Al Pacino was shooting next door in the next studio, so he came by the set to go check it out.
No kidding.
He was doing The Revolution. Revolutionary.
I forgot about that.
Everyone forgot about that. It's worst movie
that's
ever.
What he was filming next door, so he stopped by set to go check it out.
How about that? Can you imagine? Hey, this is something. Hoo-ah.
Yeah, show me the alien. Man.
I want to see the slimy thing.
That thing's head looks like a penis.
Yeah.
Yabba dabba doo.
Yeah, but I guess I like aliens. They're cool.
Yeah, they are. And you see more of them this time. Xenomorph, they look. Yeah. They look a little
bit
different.
I saw the mama.
Yeah,
mama.
Ooh, mama, scary.
You have no idea what's coming.
It's crazy how many of them there are. You know.
What?
I was like, oh, look, all the babies.
I flip flop back and forth between liking Aliens more and liking the third one.
Oh, the third one.
A lot of people like the third one.
Oh, I'm comparing
really
it to
the
Predator.
Like this one's very much like the Predator. Like it has that hunt sequence. Like you're trying to fight back, and it's a whole squad thing. But that's a good job.
Who did the Predator
name? That one.
It was good, Sandy.
You are one ugly mother. Yes.
I'm curious to see what you're going to think about the third one when we get to that one. You have that one, right?
I don't have that.
Oh, it's on, David Fincher.
That one's good.
I've never seen Alien versus Predator, but I really want to see it now.
It's not.
Those are pretty dicey.
We're going to watch Predator.
Yeah, we're going to watch Predator.
And there's two of them. I think there's two Alien versus Predators.
The Alien movies are great.
Also Cowboys versus
Alien. The Predator movies are great. The Alien versus Predator movies,
not
so much.
Yeah. But
that's like Abbott and Costello meet the alien, you know? It's like...
Yeah.
The third one is really good. I like both of them. So, like, I flip-flop back and forth because I watched these when I was a kid. And the first one scares the crap out of me, but these ones are entertaining.
Yeah. Sandy, had you seen this before?
Maybe.
Or you said when you were a kid.
Yeah, it was so long ago, I don't remember.
What was it like refreshing yourself
with? It was fantastic and missing one thing.
What's that?
I just wanted, and I told you so... She never said
from
it.
From Ripley?
Like,
oh, yeah.
Everyone else sucks.
Yeah. Well,
nobody takes her seriously.
She's too busy trying to survive to like...
And she's the only one that survives, so it's like...
Yeah.
They don't believe her.
She's too good to say it, but I really wanted it.
The
is there another
that I told
alien
you so.
After this?
Yeah.
Alien
that's
3.
There's like three more. Yeah.
Alien 3. It's
Alien 3.
Alien 3.
Alien to the third power.
Yeah. That's the one that...
She's on
if we're not going to watch it, we can watch it because I
I'm telling you, you've already seen the best two.
Yeah, that's
pretty
true.
Much, you pretty
that's
much
true. These
the
are the best.
Yeah.
Two.
Is she in the next one?
Yes.
Yeah, she is.
Okay, so
and she's in
continue.
The fourth one, too.
So the guy makes
yeah.
it? I was just very curious.
You gotta watch it.
We're not gonna tell you.
Oh, now I watch it. He's infected, huh? I knew it. They should have just left him.
We didn't say that.
And then I didn't know that that guy was a bot. And I'm telling Patrick, I'm like, why is he throwing up this shit? This hasn't happened to all the other humans.
Well, no, they show it at the beginning.
He's a synthetic human.
He's leaking some at the very beginning.
I just missed that part, I guess.
And she gets angry. She's all, I don't trust bots because the last one.
That's why I like Bishop so much, is because like she's like, wow, you're actually a good.
And then when he saves the day. So great. That's why the kid, he grabs the kid before she gets sucked out.
Then the kid like is already somehow knows the call to him to save her.
And she's like, he's like hanging on to him, you know.
But that's how I remembered that Prometheus was part of this,
mm-hmm.
because that guy was all about the aliens.
Fassbender.
Yes, there's always a great.
Yeah, he's really good. Fassbender's the best thing about those.
He's playing two.
Yeah,
my God.
David.
Yeah. Him and Prometheus is the best, and I didn't really know. I didn't really know it dealt with aliens. But.
Sandy just wanted a, and I told you so much, but other than that, you loved it. You liked it. Yeah. You bought the whole story with.
And I love the aliens, how they look and how they move and everything. Mm-hmm. So
how'd you like the queen alien?
Oh, the queen.
Laying like the eggs. You're like,
she's scary.
When she rips off like the eggs and just starts charging at him. Oh,
she's
man.
There was an alien game on the Commodore 64. And you actually had, you were sitting, like, in the, you had four screens, and it would show you, and you could go from screen to screen, and you could control that Marine, mm-hmm. and you'd see what was going on, and sometimes you'd be getting attacked simultaneously, and you'd just be like, well, that guy's dead, because the screen would go static. It was really, really fun. It was called Aliens, and it was an awesome video game.
There's another great horror game, Alien Isolation 2, where I think you're Newt, or you're, like, her daughter, trying to look for Ellen. And you have to go back through all those things, and there's aliens walking around everywhere, and you can't get caught. And
I don't like that.
It's pretty creepy.
No me gusta.
The worst part is just the thing just shooting out the mouth every time. You're just like, oh fuck, man.
John, what do you think?
This is an amazing movie. I just think it's every scene is just like a perfect scene. The pacing, and what really makes it is Sigourney Weaver. She is so good.
Yeah.
When you strip away all the layers, you know, the aliens look great, the action is great, everything's staged wonderfully. What really makes it is what a great job she does. That's a great character.
And she's
the most capable person in the movie.
I like that they didn't weaken her. Like, you know, sometimes in sequels, they'll kind of make them softer so that she's still, even when she's saving Newt and stuff like that, she's determined to make it happen and she's going to do whatever it is.
And she's totally believable.
Absolutely.
She's got problems.
I love the other girl, too, though. She was badass.
Oh, Vasquez.
Yeah. Vasquez. Oh,
yeah. So cool. I think she turns up in every James Cameron movie.
She's the stepmom in Terminator 2.
Yeah, she always turns up.
Oh, she's such the Irish. She was the Irish lady in Titanic with the babies that drown.
On Amazon, how it shows you like their pictures. Because if they've done anything else, they'll show other pictures. Yeah. Otherwise, they only stay with the one picture they have from that movie. She's so old now, and she has this long hair.
Well, it's been
so
30
cool.
years.
Like,
but I think she's in every...
She's like a badass.
I think she's in every James Cameron movie.
Yeah, she's really good in this one.
But Sigourney Weaver just sells it, because she's broken. She's seen some crazy shit, but she always pulls it together, always has a plan.
She does what needs to be done.
And I just love those scenes where everyone's all, well, that's it. And she's all, no, there's got to be a way. I love that one scene. Nope, it's broken. There's no way. No, there's got to be a way to get out of here. Yeah.
Or the scene where she's going back down to save Newt, and she has that moment of, okay.
Like, she centers herself and is just psyching herself up. She's like, let's go.
So it's believable. It's not all swagger. It's just she's smart. She's capable. She doesn't want anybody to.
And she's determined.
And she's not going to die. She's made it once. You know, she knows these things. If you just got to.
All these other highly trained individuals have just been wiped out.
Because they underestimated it.
Exactly.
She already knows.
That's why she can't make anybody believe it. They're like, really? This thing bleeds acid? Nobody believes her. She's all, look, I'm telling you.
Does the acid. Does the acid burn them?
Vasquez is...
The aliens, no.
Because it's pumping through their veins.
There's
whatever they're made out of.
It's the third one that they actually, the aliens use their own blood to get through something, right?
I don't remember.
One where like they're actually attacking each other they attack one that gets sacrificed to get through something.
The aliens are so smart.
They're super smart.
I know. That's
when they kill the
like,
power and he's all, what? They're animals. What? How do they know how to kill the power?
No, they're not animals.
They're very...
Why'd you put her in charge?
I also love the chemistry between her and what's his name, Michael Biehn?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's the only one who's not an asshole. All the rest of them are just like jocks and assholes, you know?
And the whole part where she tells out the whole plan and then he tried to impregnate us and blah, blah, and he's just sitting there like, why are you guys as listener, that's crazy. It's weird because that whole scene, I thought about us when we play Hitler. Secret Hitler. Like, no, why would, that's crazy. Why would I put this card right here? And I think like, it's so funny. So funny.
I love when he's sleeping on the dropship.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I sleep in the
chair. He's just...
My man Gorman.
I love the sets.
Oh, they're so good.
Really, the sets are so
cool.
Yeah,
they're so alien. It looks lived in.
It looks like a real colony. It's not all shiny. And
then the best part, you find out like that they actually went there to find the ship.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, this fucker.
When you find out
that Paul Reiser, he sent them there,
and she when she gets him in that room and says, "You did it, and I'm gonna nail your ass." You know?
Oh, she snaps.
You knew what you were doing.
Oh, and they're gonna use them for bioweapons. Yeah. I was like.
He was gonna put you two into the deep sleep and turn it off, bring it back.
Well, he lets the one go.
Yeah,
he doesn't even care that it's a kid. Yeah. As long as he gets an embryo back, that's all he wants.
It's so cool that once he locks him in, and then he turns around, it's like goodbye.
Yeah. See ya.
I love this movie. Yeah, it's so a good, good. It's a good.
It's does really, really well. It's not a dull moment in this movie.
Oh, and when they're on the walls, that's creepy.
Yep.
That was a little bit of the thing when they're using the Geiger counter to find out where he is.
That's very effective when it's like, okay, 3, 2, they're here. Where? And they're above them.
And you just see they're that counter, like you climbing. See how many there are.
That's
what makes it scarier.
When he sticks his head in the vent and you see him crawling, you're like, oh, well.
See you.
That's a good one.
I love it. Something's moving and it ain't us, you know? It's like, where is it? Where they're right on top of us.
There's not enough ammo. They could not bring enough ammo to kill all those things.
That was very suspenseful, too. We got exactly this much ammo, and you see the counter. We're down to 10. Yeah, 5, 2, we're out.
Yeah, it's a good, like, even, you know, towards the end of the movie, you're still watching that, and it's a good kind of detail piece that they added in there just to be like, hey, this is another issue. You're screwed.
Yeah. Now I got to use this big walker. And then we're off the ship and we're fine. No, we're not.
Just like the first one.
Just like the first one.
You get this, we did it. It's like it's almost like Michael Myers. We're safe. Nope, it's in the hatch, you know.
Let's rank this sucker, guys.
I thought it was great too, thanks.
Oh, Jake, we didn't ask you.
You did not.
It's because we don't
care. We have plenty of time. I'm sorry, Jake. I didn't mean to skip you.
It's okay.
Talk about it.
It's all good. It's one of my favorite movies. It's just
So you had seen it before.
I've seen it more times than I can count.
That's awesome.
It's just so airtight. And if you've seen the first one, there's so many little hints and giveaways of where they're going, what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Callbacks.
You get that little bit of their mucus on, like on the drop ship. You're like, no.
Yeah, when you see him go back into the ship and
you see the door open, you're like, that's not him.
What is this stuff?
Would you guys rather be impregnated by the by the crab ones, or would you rather just have the xenomorph like tongue you to death with the
tongue me to death? I don't want things popping out my chest, man.
I'd rather be stabbed in the back and then ripped apart.
Yeah. Oh, like Bishop?
Oh, yeah. Bishop got it bad,
man.
But he's fine.
God, he gets it so awful when she goes, good job.
I would have much rather
gone
that way than...
Yeah, I'd rather have that than
I had nightmares as a kid of that thing popping out my chest.
Yeah.
Probably everybody that saw that had nightmares.
So, Jake, did your mom show you that?
My mom loves, like, every 80s movie.
Okay.
There has so many of the 80s movies, so I've seen it a whole bunch of times, and Sigourney Weaver is just... perfect for this role.
She's great.
She's strong but vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And you really feel for her, especially when she finds Newt, and then she just kind of latches onto her as like the daughter that she lost because she was.
I like that they went there instead of a romance with Michael Biehn, which you see it's there.
Yeah,
like they obviously.
But it would have been
like
unbelievable if there was like on the run they have some romance. You know,
tell they like each other.
Yeah. Sure,
they respect each other. I like that they kept it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he's so much younger than she is.
Yeah. Well, you know, she's like 200 years younger.
I mean, the nice thing about, like, with Newt is the fact that, like, she attaches to her not only because, like, it's possibly, you know, a replacement for the daughter she lost, but she's also like her. She's a survivor. Like,
right.
She's been in this situation just like she was, and she understands her better than anybody else.
And she
else.
Goes, you're a smart kid. You're a tough kid. How'd you do it, you know? Yeah.
All right, guys.
I remember watching these movies when I was a kid and being so scared watching it behind the couch, like sitting behind the couch.
Wow.
And
you should have watched it on TV. I'm gonna My only problem with this movie has nothing to do with this movie. When I worked at the video store, we watched this so many times.
You're tired of it.
That I got bored of it.
And you know every.
I know, and I literally had not watched it in years and years and years. But sitting down and watching it beginning to end, I just remembered. I was like, well, this is a great movie. Yeah. Like, this is just a movie that is fantastic.
Yeah.
And I probably can't watch it again like I used to, just because I wore it out.
Can't watch it for another 10 years.
But it's not. I didn't wear it out because I. It's not because it's bad. It's just because I've seen it.
You know
it.
Every bend in the river. Exactly. Yeah. Every twist, every turn. Yeah.
But it was nice to revisit it, for sure.
Sure. That must be what it's like. You used to hear about in the old days when there were ushers. Like Carol Burnett said, she was an usher, and she'd see a movie like 100 times because she's standing there with a flashlight watching the whole movie, you know, over and over again. You know every twist and turn.
Can you imagine it if it's not a good movie?
Exactly. Yeah. My God.
All right. Yeah. Let's rank this Aliens. Jake, since I snubbed you, we're going to take your score first. I'm so sorry.
Well, thank you. It's a 10 for me.
10?
10.
Wow. John?
I give it a 9.
John's going to go 9. Sandy?
9.5.
9.5. Justine loved it?
10.
Wow.
Hey. How about that?
You're Patrick. I'm sorry.
It's a 9. It's a really good movie.
It's like you guys are like Michael Biehn and Bill Paxton. Hudson, sir, he's hits.
She's all, are you through fucking around?
I give it a 9. This is a 9. Yeah. Niner.
We all loved it.
That's a good one. Yeah.
We love it.
I'm weird. I'm kind of bummed we're not going to watch the third one on the show, so.
Don't be sad.
I'll just watch it.
You can always recommend one.
Been a long time since I've seen the third one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the prison colony, right?
Yeah, and it goes in a weird spot.
Well, it's David Fincher. It's.
It's been a long time since the rock and roll.
Been a long time, been a long time, been a long time.
Been a long,
lonely, lonely, lonely,
lonely, lonely
time. Brum, 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 brum.
Guys, for next week, brum. What are we watching? Somebody wrote it down.
We are watching Escape from New York and Road Warrior.
Road Warrior and Escape from New York, both 1981 classics, one starring Mel Gibson, one starring the new patron saint of the show, Kurt Russell.
It's Mel Gibson doing an awesome.
Have you seen it, Justine?
No.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
What's my candy?
I predict that when we see you next, you'll be wearing an eye patch.
Yeah. This is the most Kurt Russell one.
I have seen because I've been watching it, so Amazon is like, here's all the other Kurt Russell movies. So I see all like the weird way he looks. Yeah. It's so funny.
I recommend, somebody recommended Sky High to me, which I had never seen, which was like,
It's a fun one. It was on HBO.
Yeah, he's the dad, and I really had a.
It's funny.
I really did.
There Sky was some, High was there, that the was that the kids
the Disney High Channel Super Mario?
Yeah, he was like yes. he
I'm
was,
a sidekick dad. I'm a sidekick.
Yeah, he's like this. Was that theatrical or was that a Disney Channel?
It's a theatrical.
Movie?
It's a theatrical it? Release. Yeah.
Did you catch Linda Carter as the principal?
Yeah. The part that made me laugh is when he's like kind of giving he's you know the girl's evil right away, right? It's Kurt Russell. He's like she comes over to the house. She's like, I'm going to help your son with the homework, whatever. And he's like, what happened to your dad? Oh, my dad, my dad left. Something. Well, you must have got your looks from your mom or something like that. And she just goes, my mom died when I was little. And he just does like a spit take with his coffee. And I was like, oh, perfect Kurt Russell.
You forget that he can do comedy. You know?
Yeah. And it was nice to see him back doing a Disney movie.
Yeah. Where was that a Disney movie?
Yeah, it was a Disney movie. It's where he got his start. Yeah, that was really funny.
They used to show it on the Disney Channel like every week.
I wasn't expecting it to be that fun. I was like, yeah, this is going to be. I'll watch it for Kurt Russell.
The commercials looked lame and the posters looked lame. But when you finally see it, you're like, this is funny.
It's really fun.
There's a lot of nice little nods to the superhero. And you get Bruce Campbell as the coach.
Yep.
You get Bruce Campbell in there as the coach.
You got to love it. Yeah, it makes you wish that Kurt Russell would do more comedies.
Well, he did the great Overboard. And the great Captain Ron.
Overboard is great. He was also in the Santa Claus movie.
I hadn't watched Overboard in a long time, and I was watching it with my daughter. And I always forget, 80s comedies are so inappropriate for anybody under 30.
Yeah.
But there's a great scene where she's like, Goldie Hawn's trying to, because Goldie Hawn is always great too. And she's like, I'm trying to remember. And she has the flashback to the closet he built her on the yacht. And he's like, "What? Why am I thinking about a closet?" In the most Kurt Russell way, he goes, "That's because we used to do it in the closet."
Yeah, I remember that.
God, I love Kurt Russell. I
was
really
he in Captain Jack with Martin Short?
Captain Ron.
Captain Ron.
Ron. That's another,
that him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's another great
Martin Short.
That's another great Kurt Russell line.
Are we gonna watch any Goldie Hawn movies?
No. I thought your leg was broken. Well, it was, but I believe in Jesus. That's another.
You know what? We could watch Swing Shift, which is the first movie they did together.
Where they fell in love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was love.
And that's one of his more serious, like a serial comic.
That's like a Jonathan Demme, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
All right, guys. So for next week, we're going to watch The Road Warrior. And again, starting from here on out, we're doing two movies a week on the Digital Movie Club. So Road Warrior and Escape from New York 4.
I'm excited.
Next week.
I like Road Warrior.
It's a good one. So for John Sandy,
hey,
for Justine, for Sandy,
happy Halloween.
For Patrick,
thanks.
For Jake,
thank you.
For Hudson, mm-hmm. For Hicks, we say this transmission ends now. Fight the power, and you know what? Happy Halloween. Is that what we're gonna say?
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
Real quick, are you guys? Is anybody dressing up?
Nope. No.
Handing out candy?
Yeah.
Nope. No.
Going to the movies? Yeah,
well, be safe.
I work. No. I close.
Be safe and happy Halloween, guys.
Gonna watch monster movies?
Yes.
Hey, you wake up in the morning.
Creedence Clearwater Revival. Hear the work bell ring. Midnight Special. Happy Halloween.
And I march you to the table.
You want to see something really scary?
You see the same old thing. Ain't no food upon the table. There's no fork up in the pan. But you better not complain, boy. You get in trouble with the man.